You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It's Tuesday, November 6th. Derek and Ethan here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at DeepBro_FFB. I want you to head over, check out the main page for 24/7 at FFB_247. You can check out my dude, my man, my main squeeze, Ethan, on Twitter at eTurnerFF_PT. We are dropping new episodes Monday through Thursday every single week of the NFL season. Oh my gosh, I feel like we're going through a string of Monday night snoozers here. After we break down that game, we are going to get through the first injury update of the week, and then we're going to bring this bad boy home and wrap it up with our waiver wire gems for the upcoming week. Ethan, what is up, man?
Not much, man. Just rolling right through here, man. We're already on to talking about week 10, which seems wild to me. We'll be talking about week 10. Not a ton of injuries this weekend either, which is always good to see.
I'm sure you get tired of the parading the walking wounded all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal sometimes. I feel like I'm always the bearer of bad news, but we did get to see a few returns, so that's always good. Obviously, Dalvin Cook coming back helped a lot of fantasy owners back, so it's good to see him. We're at that kind of the time of the year where people start returning from injuries that they had early in the season, so that's always nice. That's good for me because I do feel bad bringing the bearer of bad news every single week.
Yeah, man, definitely. But look, before we get the show on the road, do not forget, get entered to win our signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame edition jersey. All you have to do to get entered to win this bad boy is rate and review us on iTunes. Be sure that you leave your Twitter handle or your email on the review so we can get in touch with you if you are chosen as the winner. All right, Ethan, let's break it down, man. This game with the Titans versus the Cowboys, this is a lot of back and forth. Titans take it home 28-14, stay alive in the AFC South. And for the Titans, man, this team never, even though the box score looks halfway decent, this team never makes it look easy on offense. You just, no matter what it is and how many stats they put up, which they haven't done that a whole lot this year so far, but even when they do, man, it's nothing looks pretty or easy for this team. Mariota had a few splash plays in this one. He finished with a very efficient line of 21 of 29, 240 with two touchdowns, coming in as the QB7 on the week. Also tacked on another rushing touchdown and 32 yards on the ground. And for a guy, I mean, this is easily probably going to go down as one of his best games of the year. I talked about it with Willie. I mean, the guy has not gone above 130 passing yards on the season, at least like a handful of times. And so it's a little bounce back game for him. As far as the running backs, hell, you might as well just say the running backs and receiving. Deion Lewis led the team in both rushing and receiving in this one. And I don't want to take anything away from him because he had a good game. And that's kind of what I expected walking into this matchup with the Cowboys, being a little bit more susceptible to running backs through the air over the last few games. So Deion rolled up 23 touches, 122 total yards, 60 of that receiving. And got one touchdown through the air. Could have had another one, but then we saw the little pump fake short pass to Jonnu Smith, which the ghost of Jonnu Smith, he had something to say about in this one, man. But Derrick Henry, of course, vultures a touchdown because sure as hell knows if nobody should be starting Derrick Henry at this point in the season. 6 for 27 and a touchdown. It was nice to see Lewis just absolutely take over this backfield. One of the few good takeaways from this game. And another just, it's been sad, man, honestly to say. Corey Davis amassing 10 targets in this one and still just not doing a ton with all this volume. Now, whether you want to point that to Mariota or you want to put that on Davis, he's consistently getting open, but 10 targets and he only is turning it into 6 for 56, no touchdowns. And I know Mariota, you know, overthrew him one time in the end zone, so woulda, coulda, shoulda with a touchdown, but that's kind of what this Titans team has been on the year. Ethan, any other quick takeaways on this Titans team before you get to the Cowboys?
Yeah, I will say that we're starting to notice a trend with the running backs, and I think that's important that Deion Lewis once again kind of taking over both as the passing back and really taking over as the early down back too. Derrick Henry's just not getting involved. I think that Deion Lewis could be one of those sneaky guys if you play in a PPR league where you kind of maybe you can get him a little cheaper than what he's probably actually worth for this stretch run. I don't know, man. It just really seems like they're starting to have a little bit of a trend here. He had a good week, I want to say 2 weeks ago or last week.
Week 7.
Yeah, so he's now put together, you know, two pretty good solid weeks in the last 3 weeks. So he's kind of a guy that I might be putting a couple feelers out and seeing what I can get.
Yeah, definitely, man. So on the Cowboys side, what did you take away from this game?
Not a whole lot of action here for the Cowboys. Not really any horrible performances either. I don't think you're really disappointed with any of these unless you really needed a ton of points from somebody. But if you're relying on this Cowboys offense to get you a bunch of points, you're probably going to be disappointed every week. Dak obviously comes in 243 yards passing, two touchdowns and a pick. Honestly, the problem with Dak's line here is that he only managed 11 yards on the ground. Dak really is one of those quarterbacks that kind of relies on that rushing production to give him those really big weeks that he has. He actually did have two pretty big weeks before this, so I actually had him streaming a couple places, but not disappointing performance for sure, but just not really what you're looking for. He finishes his QB 18. Not terrible, but again, not the highest of highs for him. On to the running backs. Obviously, Zeke is going to get his 61 yards on the ground, four catches, 51 in the air. No touchdowns, which really stopped it from being kind of a monster day, but still a good for RB14 on the week in PPR leagues. Wide receiver is probably the one that's going to get all the headlines. The big news out of Dallas, of course, being Amari Cooper making his big debut with the team, actually led the team in targets with 8, finished with 5 receptions for 58 yards and a touchdown, which put him at wide receiver 13 on the week in PPR, which obviously you love to see if you are a Cooper truther, which I am not, but at least he was getting the volume. I think that for everything that people have to say about Dak and about Cooper, I think they do fit really well together. Cooper gets a ton of separation. Dak is, for all his downfalls, he can be a very accurate quarterback at times, so I think that they're going to match up pretty well, and really there's not a lot of competition there, and you kind of see the impact that having that true wide receiver one has on this team with Cooper. Kind of opened up the offense for Zeke, opened it up for a few of the other wide receivers. Allen Hurns had a touchdown. Michael Gallup got open a few times, 3 grabs, 51 yards. So Cooper really is going to have a positive impact all the way around. And I think that this was a good shift for him because really at this point, anybody that can get out of that Raiders offense is better off for it. As far as the tight ends, I don't really think the Cowboys have a starting tight end at this point, at least not one of NFL caliber. So we should probably just move on from that.
Yeah, and to piggyback on your takes about the wide receivers, man, talk about Allen Hurns just kept the Burn Nation of Malcolm Butler going. Oh my God, dude. So if you have a team that's going against the Titans, you want to look and see who the hell is matching up with Malcolm Butler on the week, because he is god awful. That's who Hurns beat with the double move, which wasn't a very impressive double move, by the way, for the 23-yard touchdown. So yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. I think I do kind of like the fact that Michael Gallup also set another season high in targets on this one, with him and Cooper, pretty much playing every down, and this Cowboys team finally kind of going towards Gallup in this one.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually really like Gallup coming out of school. I thought he was really, really high profile producer at Colorado State. So I really liked him coming out. I like the fit, but I do think that he is better off serving as a wide receiver two on a team. He can burn a lot of second number two cornerbacks. So I just think that you're going to see with Cooper kind of taking those number one cornerbacks away that Gallup should continue to produce in that wide receiver two role for the team.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right, before we get to all of the injury reactions and all of your analysis with that, man, look, I got to tell you about Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, and hell, even theater events, man. So Vivid Seats offers great prices with an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders $200 or more for the first time customers of Vivid Seats. So you go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app, enter promo code Locked On to receive $20 off your first order of $200 or more. All right, man. Look, all right, let's get to all of these injured players on the week. So I got to get your takes here, Ethan. First one up on the docket. It's a big one, dude. AJ Green is apparently dealing with a foot injury. What's going on with this?
Yeah, this one definitely has me concerned because this is something that really didn't get brought up last week much. I'm not sure if it was because they were on the bye week or what, but according to all the reports, he is dealing with a foot or a toe injury. They didn't think it was a big deal. All of a sudden, it starts swelling up on him over the weekend. It's not getting any better. There's not a whole lot of clarity on what exactly the diagnosis is for this injury, so it's hard to give a timeline, but he does have a history of turf toe, which is really just a sprained big toe. It's, turf toe is kind of one of those things that it gets talked about a lot, but nobody really knows what it is. It just means you sprained your big toe. Further reports are that he's expected to miss at least 2 weeks, but I think we could even be talking about longer than that, honestly. Foot injuries are never a good sign. They aren't easy to rehab. He's already seen two specialists already with no solid diagnosis, which is never a good sign either. I mean, we could be looking at a fantasy season ender and maybe even a season ender for the actual NFL season as well, because it just doesn't seem like they know what's going on with him. I'd honestly be trying to push to get as much value as I can for Green right now. And I'm definitely making a trade push here late in the season for Tyler Boyd, who's really broken out this year.
Yeah, this is a bummer for Green, man. I love AJ Green. A year after year, dude just puts it up. So this is a definite blow to the Bengals. All right, man. You know my love for this next player, Raheem Mostert. Oh my gosh. Anybody that has not seen the video on what happened to this dude, I'm going to take a second and try to not think about how grotesque that looked and let you talk about this, Ethan.
Yeah, obviously this one hurts us over here at the 24/7 pod. We were pretty high on Mostert. You know, nobody was really higher on him than us. But obviously, if you've seen any of the reports, don't watch the video if you haven't seen it, if you have a weak stomach, because he's a pretty brutal forearm fracture in Thursday's blowout win against the Raiders. You know, Mostert's, he's already had surgery on the arm. It was pretty serious. If you watched it, you knew. And that surgery is really just to kind of stabilize the bones, assist in bone healing, making sure that they heal up correctly. He has been placed on the IR as well. I guess the only really bright side is that Alfred Morris, once again, may be a guy to pick up, knowing that the health of Matt Breida is always a question. So really just a bummer, because I do think Mostert was starting to really show what he could do in that offense.
Yeah, if anything, man, it just felt like just a troll of your heart. You know, like, he puts up a good performance and then everybody's like, all right, Breida's going to be limited. Let's play him. And then padunk. And then everybody's like, all right, well, Breida, I guess, is the guy to start. And then Mostert comes out and he plays well again. Then he snaps his arm. So you're like, all right, I'm going to pick him up. Oh, damn. Oh, well, never mind.
Is there a worse core in terms of injuries this year than what the 49ers are dealing with? I mean, you sign Jerick McKinnon. He goes down with the ACL. Finally, Mostert looks like he's going to become a thing. He goes down with the broken arm. Breida's looked like he was going to become a thing a few times. He goes down with multiple injuries. At this point, you just have to shake your head and go, man, this is just not our year in terms of keeping our players healthy.
Well, we don't want to get too long on rants about San Francisco running backs. I don't want anybody to call us on originality for this. So we're going to move on real quick.
I have a rant.
Well, fine. I'll let you get into the Patriots then. Sony Michel and Rob Gronkowski were game time scratches. What's up with these guys?
Yeah, if I had a guy that I could rant about, it would be Sony Michel, because he actually hurt me in two different leagues. In one league, I actually have to leave a flex spot empty this week because late scratches, man. I mean, it's just like a Patriots special where they don't tell you anything about the injuries, and then all of a sudden, neither one of these guys is playing. So pregame scratches this week, I know, it's definitely affected me in a few leagues, like I said. I'm sure that many of our listeners were affected as well. Michel dealing with that knee injury from a few weeks ago, I didn't expect him to really, because he had practiced, I kind of had high hopes that he would play, but obviously they decided that they were going to give him another week. And Gronk has been hampered by both back and ankle injuries. They say this is ankle related, but I'm actually a little bit curious. I think it has more to do with his back, which has been bothering him. Remember, he did have surgery on that. It's now the second game that Gronk has missed since week 7 with this injury. So something you definitely have to pay attention to with his history. The team does go on bye in week 11. So I think it's entirely possible that they rest both of these guys again this week. I do think Michel ends up playing either way. It seems like, if I've learned one thing this year, is that NFL teams don't listen to me when I say that they should sit a guy. So I'm going to guess that Michel plays, but Gronk could be a game time decision once again.
Well, if Sony Michel is out again, man, you're going to have Cordell Patterson, a.k.a. Cordell Blunt, a.k.a. LeGarrette Patterson out there this week. So that was one of the weirdest things I've seen, man. Cordell Patterson getting the run as the early down back for the Patriots. Oh, that's been crazy, man. But moving on, Chris Carson was out with a leg injury last week. What's going on with him?
Yeah, so he's actually he was dealing with a hip injury leading into the game. And I said, you know, I'm going to take him out of my lineups. I don't like playing guys that are hurt all the way up until the game. And it showed here, you know, he left after only 10 snaps, had multiple hip and groin injuries this season already that have been affecting him kind of on and off. I really can't gauge right now if he's going to play this week or not. They're going up against the Rams. So I think Mike Davis could be a guy that you are looking at. I'll talk a little bit more about him later, but Mike Davis and Rashad Penny should see an increased workload this week regardless.
It's just so freaking hard to deal and trust Pete Carroll as far as injuries go. Guy that we've been waiting for the triumphant return. The horns need to sound and all the bells and whistles are going to go off. Leonard Fournette, week 10. Is the return coming, Ethan?
I don't know. I would say that. I know I'm killing everyone here, but I think he is back to doing individual drills in practice, which is good. If he stays the course and he gets some more practice time in this week, he doesn't have any setbacks, which we know obviously are a huge risk with hamstring strains. I do think that we could see him return. And honestly, I'm not sure what kind of matchup he's running into, because this Colts defense that he's going to be playing is deceptively stout in the run game. So is it a great game for him to come back to? No, but I do think that if he's healthy, he's going to play.
On to our next player, Chris Ivory, went down late in Sunday's game. What's going on with Ivory?
Yeah, so he goes down late with a shoulder injury against the Bears. That game was well out of hand at this point, but Ivory actually has played much better than LeSean McCoy has recently. You know, Ivory's got 151 rushing yards on his last 36 carries compared to McCoy's 24 yards on his last 24 carries, which you don't have to do the math. It's not that hard. That's 1 yard per carry for McCoy, so obviously some danger there, but if Ivory misses some time, I do expect Marcus Murphy to kind of take his place as the spellback to McCoy. But at this point, you just stay away from the Bills at all costs in fantasy. If you're starting one of these guys, you're probably in trouble.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, it's just a black hole of fantasy. On to the Bears. Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson. What's going on with these guys?
Yeah, so Taylor Gabriel was actually injured late in that game as well with the Bills with a knee injury. Not a lot of info on this one yet, but I did see them performing an ACL exam on him, and it did look intact to me based on what they were testing and what I could see. So I'm sure that more info is going to come out on this later in the week. As for his teammate, Allen Robinson, he's now missed 2 straight weeks with a groin strain and is questionable again this week. I'll actually be in attendance for this game in Chicago against Detroit. So if neither of those two guys play, I think I see a lot of Anthony Miller coming in here and being the guy. And once again, tight end Trey Burton, he's going to see a lot of targets if both those guys end up missing.
All right, dude. Well, on to the waiver wire section. So all these waiver wire gems, we're going to be telling you to pick up and plug those holes in your roster. You got, looks like, 4 teams on a bye this week: Ravens, Broncos, Texans, and Vikings. The first player that I got to get to on this is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And this guy has just been money in the last few weeks. He's only rostered in 38% of Yahoo leagues. If he's already picked up in your league, look, I'm sorry, dude, because he is definitely has a chance to assume this number two role for the Packers with Aaron Rodgers under center. A guy who, the last few weeks, I mean, just juicy stat lines, dude. 7 for 68 and a touchdown. Then he goes for 103 yards. The next game, 45 and a touchdown. And this last game has 3 catches for 101, averaging 6.8 targets over those last 4 games. And considering, I mean, look, last week he played 81% of the snaps, outsnapped Randall Cobb in this offense. The wide receiver 2 spot in the Packers offense historically has had an 18.8 target share. So if he's going to grab that with Aaron Rodgers, who is a lock to, as long as he's healthy, throw 30-plus touchdowns on the season, you got to be picking him up, man, and he's worth a start. And he could end up the season as being a low end two, high end three, and definitely carry you down the stretch. Who's your player that you got to talk about first, Ethan?
Yeah, before I get into my guy here, I think it's really interesting what the Packers did. They basically said, after the fourth round, we're going to draft every huge wide receiver that can run really fast, and one of them is going to become Aaron Rodgers' new best friend. Luckily, Valdez-Scantling seems to be the guy, but they also picked up Equanimeous St. Brown, who's another huge size speed specimen. Jamon Moore, again, a huge... All these guys are like 6'4", so at this point, Rodgers, they basically said, hey, look, if Rodgers is going to complete every Hail Mary pass he throws anyway, we might as well just put a bunch of trees out there to catch the ball from him. So I thought that was really interesting. On to my first guy here, though. It's Dante Moncrief, and it's not going to be as sexy of a name. I know, you know, before any of our listeners get on me about how bad Blake Bortles is or how bad this offense is, just take a second. Hear me out here. Moncrief's only owned in 10% of Yahoo, 13% of ESPN leagues. We know that Leonard Fournette is coming back soon, whether or not it's this week. Again, not 100% sure, but I think it will be this week. And we know that that offense opens up a ton when teams can't just zone in on Blake Bortles and that pass game. Let's not forget that this team was a few plays away from beating the Patriots in the playoffs last year. Bortles is bad, but he can support an offensive weapon. We've seen it before. And Moncrief has become that offensive weapon. He's the number one target in the offense in the last month of the season. Let's just look at his stat lines from last month. 5 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown. 6 catches for 76 yards. The Cowboys blowout game, which we will not talk about because it was bad for everyone. 7 for 76, 4 for 54. So again, the thing that gets me here with Moncrief is this schedule that he has coming up is juicy. He gets Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo over the next 3 weeks. So I think if you need a flex for the bye weeks, I think that you can do worse than Moncrief in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I definitely feel it, man. Next guy I got to get up in here is Elijah McGuire, only rostered in 14% of Yahoo leagues. And in his first game back from the IR, the foot injury and stuff that's kept him out for the entire season, this guy outsnapped Isaiah Crowell 36-23, playing 55% of the snaps, rolled up 10 touches, 63 yards, also ran 27 routes. And I know this Jets offense is not amazing, but if you want a running back at this point of the season and you're in PPR leagues and you're looking for somebody in your lineups, you're desperate, things like that, I understand the offense is not amazing, but what you want is a guy that's going to play all three downs and be active in the passing game. And that's right where Elijah McGuire is, man. Last season, when he played on 49% or more of the snaps in three games, he averaged 5.3 targets per game and 11 touches. So I like him moving forward. He's definitely could end up being a nice little PPR flex play for you. Ethan, who's your next guy?
Yeah, so I kind of I let everybody know a little bit earlier in the injury section, but my next guy here is Mike Davis, and this pins almost entirely on the health of Chris Carson. Davis is only owned in 24% of Yahoo leagues, 19% of ESPN leagues. When Carson went down earlier this season, Davis had two straight big games, 33 attempts, 169 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Now, last week, when we saw Carson go down, we actually saw Davis get involved in the pass game as well with 7 catches for 40. 45 yards to go with 15 rush attempts for 62 yards. So this could be a chance for him to kind of become a 1 or 2 week three down back. And that's everything you want in a waiver wire pickup. If Carson can't go this week, we could be looking at Davis to have a huge workload against a Rams team that's giving up 4.7 yards per attempt on the ground, which actually ranks 24th in the league.
Absolutely, man. Look, well, so considering all the bye weeks and the teams that are out and stuff, some other options we want to keep you apprised of, man. Look, Baker Mayfield is out there, and he is only rostered in 38% of Yahoo leagues. Going to take it on the Falcons this week, who we have known. Look, they have they're fresh off allowing 306 passing yards and a touchdown to Alex Smith. So I'm pretty damn sure Baker Mayfield can best those numbers. We know how beat up their defense is. Another quarterback to keep in mind is Josh Rosen. He is not the sexiest of names, but taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, pass defense is always a matchup that you're, if you're desperate, you're in two QB leagues and stuff, it's something to keep in mind. As far as tight ends, Jack Doyle is only owned in 39% of leagues. We've seen him, man, since he's been back, he's on the field and stuff. He's out snapping Eric Ebron. We know the rapport that he has with Andrew Luck weekly. So if he's out there, you've got to snag him and at least throw him on your bench. As far as wide receivers go, Willie Snead is only rostered in 28% of Yahoo leagues, 7-plus targets in each of his last six games. So the volume has been there for him to be a nice little bye week fill-in. The other guy that I got to get in here real fast before we get out of here is Maurice Harris, man. And I'm not telling you that this guy is going to be the next blow-up. Like, I know that he blew up last game with 12 targets, 10 catches, and 124 yards with the Redskins. I'm not going to tell you that this might not be just a one-and-done kind of blip, but we have seen players over the second half of the season come out of nowhere and carry teams down the stretch. So I'm not going to tell you to go blow a ton of fab on this guy that he's going to do this every single week, but there are some positives to take away here. The Redskins have been hurting for a wide receiver of note all season, and this dude came out of nowhere and led the team in targets last week. I don't think that can just be easily dismissed. He's 6'3", so he's a guy that can play the outside. And this is a team that they need a pass game weapon. So Maurice Harris is a person to, at least for this week, pick him up and stash him on your bench and see what the heck he does in the next few weeks. All right, Ethan, that's it, man. I want everybody to go on Twitter and check me out at @dbro_FFB. Head over to the main page at @FFB_247 and go find all of Ethan's injury goodness on Twitter at @eturnerff_PT. And for this week, for 24/7, we are out.